The Secret World Chronicle, a podcast novel series written by Mercedes Lackey, Cody Martin, Dennis Lee, and Veronica Jaguer. Presenting Season 7, Run Silent, Run Deep. Descent, Part 3, written by Mercedes Lackey, Cody Martin, and Dennis Lee. It only took a few minutes of flashing over the rooftops of the city before they neared the MARTA line. The train was easily visible, even from a distance. As they swooped in, Natalia glanced at the group of Echometas on top, moving hand over hand towards the front car. She hissed as she saw another group of Black Snake emerge from between the second and third cars. A train-top battle! Hunter knew that she had always wanted to take part in one of those, but there was other work to do first, then she could play. They had to take control of the train, and her cargo was just the sort to do it. The Commissar banked left to intercept the lead car, staying as high as possible until they were almost directly above it. At the last moment she dived, plunging them towards the unforgiving metal roof of the lead car. Georgie was afraid that she was going to smash both of them into it until she braked with another plume of energy. He gave her a thumbs up, and she set him down. It was difficult, but he was able to land on the roof of the car without a loud impact. Something like that would have surely alerted the occupants inside, which would ruin the entire plan. Natalia nodded to him once before rocketing off again, eager to return to the rooftop fighting. Untermensch hunkered down, crouching to the train car's roof. The wind from the train's speed was enough to stagger him if he stood at his full height. Lowering himself so that his belly was flat against the roof, he slowly crawled until he was at the left edge. Gripping the edge of the car, he used his free hand to retrieve a tactical mirror from a pouch. It had an extendable neck, but he only pulled it out about half a foot. He had to keep a firm hold on it. The wind kept threatening to tear it from his grasp. Carefully, he placed the end of it over the edge and angled it inward. Squinting, he could make out the interior of the cabin. There were 8 Rebs in the car, including one that was at the controls. They were wearing a mixture of denim and leather, with typical biker patches and the Rebs' club patch on their cuts. He scanned each one carefully. There. Many of them had tattoos, but Hunter noticed that they weren't biker tattoos. Most of them were military-themed. Under their cuts were low-profile plate carriers and load-bearing vests.
True Rebs are never so well outfitted. Sloppy work, scum.
Replacing the tactical mirror in his pouch, Hunter decided that the time to act was now. Coming up into a crouch, Hunter gripped the edge of the car and then oriented himself to face inwards. He reversed his grip and then kicked his feet off the edge of the car, swinging toward the center of the car feet first. The glass window in front of him exploded inwards, the sudden rush of wind in the car sending the shards flying. There was a Black Snake Merc directly in front of him. Bracing his legs, Hunter pushed against him as he fully entered the car. Taken completely by surprise, the Merc was launched off of his feet and through the opposite window, sent screaming and bleeding to the ground below the tracks. Landing in a crouch, Hunter unholstered his battered Makarov pistol. One of the Black Snakes to his right was starting to recover and draw a weapon. Hunter fired rapidly 3 times, striking the Merc in the chest and arm. He went down, but Hunter could tell he was only wounded.
Body armor. I must aim for their faces.
Before Hunter could line up another target, his pistol was kicked from his hand. The Black Snakes were circling around him as they regained their bearings. The one that had attacked him lunged with a knife. Hunter caught it in his nearly invulnerable hand and snapped the blade off at the hilt, throwing it to the ground. The stunned Merc still had enough sense to keep his guard up. Hunter began pummeling him with blows, aiming at joints and weak spots not covered by the body armor under the Merc's clothing. He had driven the man against the control booth for the car and was about to deliver a crippling blow to the bleeding Merc's neck. Then he felt the muzzle of a pistol pressed against the back of his head. Less than a second later, everything went dark, and Untermensch didn't feel anything more. Natalia shot up into the sky, hung for a moment, then began a glorious swan dive and hurtled toward the Black Snake operatives climbing up onto the roof of the train. It had been ages since she'd had the opportunity to knock mercenary Svenja off of a moving train, and she planned to enjoy herself.
"We can't be leaving Georgie to be having all of the fun."
She was accelerating to ramming speed when the call came over her comm. She slowed her descent and grumbled at the interruption. "Red Savior, this is Overwatch."
"Duh, go ahead, Rasputin's daughter, I am listening."
I thought you promoted me to Hero of the People, Commissar. I read you as being right over the train.
Correct. I'm going to be smashing mercenaries soon. Out with it, Hero of the People.
You should see that the last two cars have separated from the rest. That's the one with the WW2 vets in them.
The young witch was right. The last two cars had detached from the main section and were slowing down. That was most excellent for Natalia. It would give her more freedom in blasting the kidnappers to steaming bits.
It seems two Echo Ops mold themselves into the Black Snake ranks and dropped a shoe into their gears. Can you pick them up and haul them to the rest of the train? They don't want to miss out on the action. Request of Bulwark with his compliments and thanks.
Nazareth.
Big taxi for Echo Spies is not what I agreed to when being signed up for this conspiracy.
Of course not. The advantage is that Bull is going to have the back door open for you and a gun and ammo waiting.
Have both already, needing neither anyways.
She mulled it over for a moment. Time was wasting, and the train was only getting closer to the station.
Fine, fine, I will be there. Tell them to back away from open doors. Don't want to scare any of the little heroes or be squishing one when I land.
Natalia flipped in the air and twisted, turning towards the end of the train. She flew in a wide arc, decreasing in altitude until she was almost level with the tracks. Her HUD from Overwatch was keeping her updated on her speed, elevation, and other vital information. A marker in her vision indicated where her two echo charges were. Increasing speed, she accelerated toward the open door at the back of the rear car, cutting off energy for flight when she was 20 feet away. Her momentum carried her forward, and she was able to clear the doorway by 5 feet, landing heavily on the floor of the train car. Two people, a slender young woman and an elfin young man, stepped forward to meet her. They wore what looked like generic uniforms, but were oddly covered from head to toe. They wore battle masks under rough scarves and goggles to cover their necks and faces, their hands clad in tough leather. Her HUD immediately identified them as her pickups, that they were wearing tactical armor under the uniforms and the arms they were both carrying.
Good, she said, nodding. You are not being fat with Amerikansky fasting food. And being your taxi, da?
More like our angel, Commissar, ma'am, if you Ruskies have angels, said the young man. Overwatch gave us instructions on running the car. We've got that under control.
What we are having is no time for theological discussions. Are both of you ready? Where am I taking you?
She had placed her fists on her hips, impatient already.
Where else? The girl said. To the fighting.
Davide, then. Come over here so I can grab both of you, under your arms.
They moved as fast as some of her own comrades in the CCCP. She was gratified to see. Bulwark must train his underlings well. A nice change. She wrapped her arms around both of their chests tightly. She was taller than both, so she had to crouch down slightly to do so.
Do not be shrieking like frightened babushkas when we fly.
Without another word, she kicked off from the edge of the door, dragging the Echo Metas with her. Her energy plume erupted below her feet, carrying them up. Both of the Metas kept silent, but she felt them both scrabble and grasp onto her arms tightly as they ascended. With the extra weight, Natalia wasn't able to turn as quickly or as gracefully. She felt as if she were hauling sacks of grain on a farm. Fortunately, her HUD was able to allow for all of that. It even gave her several options for a plotted trajectory depending upon how high or fast she wanted to go. Useful thing, this. Victoria was definitely elevated to Hero of the People. Very shortly, they caught up with the rest of the train. Flashes of light seemed to erupt from the fourth car, and there was open fighting on top of the first. She swooped down sluggishly, coming to rest atop the back compartment.
Packages are being delivered.
She released her hold on scope and acrobat. It took them a half second to release their grips on her arms and drop down to grab firm holds of the train roof.
Commissar, much appreciated, Scope yelled. She nodded to Acrobat. Let's go!
Which fight?
Bruno shouted back. Outside or in?
Scope glanced at Ryder's crew.
It looks like the outside team have them on the ropes. Let's get inside to Bull. Come on, hurry, or there won't be any fighting left for us.
I like your thinking, girl,
Nat grinned, and motioned to follow them into the train where her inner ear pinged with an incoming message.
Overwatch to Joint Command.
Chilt was me, Natalia shouted.
Fedma, what is it now?
Black Snake units moving openly on 5-point station. Estimate 20 based on comm chatter and headcount via traffic cams. Not enough echo in place to hold them off, and what there is mostly echo med.
Just so betcha,
Savior swore.
Small arms, mostly healing powers, they will be target practice.
Was looking forward to using Sistema in close quarters. Have not had enough practice,
she sighed.
Overwatch. Am coming to strafe Svlolok Blacksnake from air. With luck, we'll catch them at entrance. We'll make nice cozy place for Blacksnake to be turned into paste.
She gave Scope and Acrobat a quick salute, turned on her heel, and kicked off of the train car. As she rose, she saw a group of Echo fighting their way atop the car she had dropped Untermensch onto. There was still one Blacksnake left. Unable to resist, she charged her fists, squinted a little to sight, and blasted that last man off the top, sending him in a graceful arc that was doomed to end in a not-so-graceful splat onto the pavement. Mollified, she accelerated up, using her energy to speed into the blue Atlanta sky.
"Be leaving some for the rest of us, Georgie," she thought. "Otherwise, it is going to be a boring day indeed."
Overwatch to Joint Command. Man down, Car 1, Untermensch. Ryder was channeling the novelization of Enter the Dragon, and thanks to his opponents, was a little too busy to do more than swear. The writer hadn't been very good, and as a consequence, his Jeet Kune Do was a lot weaker than Bruce Lee's.
Nichevo,
he heard Savior say flatly, which he assumed was a swear word in Russian. His opponent was not going down any time soon. In fact, his opponent was clearly a master of some sort of nasty, hard-hitting mixed martial art. And now he was in trouble, separated from the rest of them, backed into a corner. And the problem was, he couldn't just pick up some other book to channel. He was stuck with this one until it ran out, until the last word from the last page scrolled across his skin. And then, just as the black snake in reb clothing closed in for what was clearly going to be the kill, he wasn't in trouble anymore. Someone rose up from behind the snake, and with a single chopping blow to the back of his neck, not just broke the man's neck, but damn near decapitated him.
"CCCP, Untermensch,"
the man barked, clearly expecting Ryder to take him on just out of reflex. Ryder stared.
"Aren't you supposed to be dead?"
he stammered, oblivious to the fighting behind Untermensch. The commie laughed.
"Da, they keep saying that. Dave Tovarich, let us make borscht di suka."
And with that he turned, and Ryder just followed behind him, mopping up whatever he left.
"I know how to run the train!"
he shouted over the shouts, screams, and sounds of combat.
"Then we need to get you to front of car!"
Untermensch shouted back, ruthlessly plowing his way ahead. What had been 8 men became 5, then 3, then none. Untermensch made short work of the door. Shatterproof glass was evidently not nearly up to blows from a pair of hands that might have looked like flesh, but obviously weren't as frail and fragile a thing as skin and bone. Unfortunately, when Ryder wrenched open the door from the inside and tried to bring up the control panel, he got nothing. Not a flicker. And the cause was obvious, a scorch mark along the top that must have come from an errant electrical cannon shot. The brains of the train were fried, and as the instruction manual scrolled across his skin, he knew what he had to do.
"Get everybody out of here, Unter," he ordered. "Get into the second car. The only way to slow this train is for me to manually decouple from here. Then you guys will be the lead car, and you can bring the train in under control."
"Overwatch to Ryder. I can feed Georgie what he needs to run the panel." Evidently, the Overwatch chick was saying something similar to the Russian. He had his hand to his ear, and nodding.
"What about you, comrade?"
the Russian asked, looking up.
"I'll have to hotwire the brakes and hold the wires in place. That's the only way to get them to work. Oh, go, we're running out of time. The rest of you, this guy's your team lead now. Do what he says."
Ryder didn't even turn to see if the others obeyed him. He was prying open the access panel under the controls, hunting for the manual decoupler. By the time he found it and peered back along the body-strewn car, the Russian had battered open the door between cars 1 and 2. His men were pushing back the black snake, and the Russian was breaking down the control booth door. Ryder yanked on the decoupler. There was a lurch, then a second lurch as car one, now no longer pulling up five other cars, surged forward, accelerating. Ryder pulled loose the pertinent wires and jammed them together, holding them in place despite showers of sparks that landed on his hands, stinging and burning them. He didn't have to look to see the words scrolling across his skin now. As the wheels locked up and screamed, he knew very well that there was too little track between him and the 5-point station to actually stop, not with the engine fighting the brakes. The brakes were going to lose. The best he could manage would be a controlled crash into whatever train was still ahead of them. There was a train ahead. The track signals told him that much. Which would be why the ballad of Casey Jones was what was playing across his hands and face right now. Ryder, this is Overwatch. It's okay, Overwatch. I know you can't do anything. It's okay. He kept the wires jammed together. Every bit of speed he could scrub off would be that much less shrapnel flying around the station. Strangely, he felt very calm as he saw the tunnel to the underground speeding towards him. Maybe somebody will write a book about this someday. Ryder! But it was already too late, as the words he saw scrolling across his skin came to a dead stop, leaving only two. From the time he first understood his power, Ryder had known this day would come. There it was. His eyes were fixed on the words, black print on white skin, repeated over and over. The end. The last of the Black Snake mercenaries in the terminal was trying to make a run for the exit. The rest of his team had been decimated by the CCCP and the Echo Medical teams that had arrived to secure the area and evacuated. Savior stepped out from behind the corner she had been using as cover, grabbing the Merc by the front of his clothing. In his panic to escape, he had thrown his weapons to the ground and was wild-eyed with fear.
Good. Wicked men should fear.
The Commissar lifted him from the ground with one hand while she charged energy in her free hand. The gut punch she delivered on the captive Merc sent him flying nearly 20 feet, where he impacted a row of lockers with a wet thump. With a self-satisfied nod, she keyed her comm.
Status report, Murdoch.
The American came trotting up to her from behind a newsstand further down the tunnel, his rifle at a low ready.
All of the opposition have been taken down, Commissar. Any live ones are in custody, with Echo Med securing them off to the side.
He glanced over his shoulder briefly.
They ain't got a lot of work to do, if you know what I mean. Civilians! I'll leave act prior to the tussle breaking out. We're getting the train that's here moving out shortly. Conductor is a touch shaky at the moment.
She nodded, surveying the scene. Casings and bullet holes littered everywhere, with broken tile crunching underfoot wherever she stepped. Savior was walking with Murdoch towards the train when her comm squawked once.
Overwatch to Red Savior. Untermensch back up. Car 1 coming in at speed. I've prodded Marta, but there's going to be a crash if you can't clear that last train now. Cars 2 through 5 detached and slowing. Unter has the controls, but there's fighting in them, and there'll be a crunch into anything left on the tracks.
Clear the train now, Murdoch.
Savior keyed the comm for her team and the Echo Med team.
Everyone, be getting to cover. Runaway car coming in hard and fast.
Everyone scrambled. John was already running at a blur toward the front end of the train in the station, yelling to get the train moving. Natalie was directing everyone and helping to clear some of the injured when the train lurched once, then slowly started rolling forward. There was a low rumble that was growing. She could feel it start at her feet and work its way up into her belly. And a scream of metal on metal.
The train. It's here. Tvoy, you mutt! Everyone be getting down! Now!
Natalia launched herself sideways, diving away from the train tracks. She landed and covered her head, chancing to look at the last second. The single car came barreling down the tracks, brakes failing, sparks flying from the undercarriage as the wheels screamed. She felt as much as she heard the impact. It was so loud and jarring. Both the single car and the evacuated train rippled with the force of the crash, sending pieces of debris flying through the air. The evacuated train's rear car lurched upward, actually raking the bottom of the ceiling. The lone car was crushed, compacted like an accordion to half its length. Smoke was pouring out of it even before its momentum ceased to push the train in front of it. Everyone in the station was dazed. Natalia could hear yelling and some screaming from further down the tunnel. She picked herself up, coughing from all of the dust and smoke in the air and trying to get her bearings.
"Prepare yourselves. Train with Shlula Voskagnaja is coming. We'll be here soon. We must be ready to properly welcome them."
Bulwark's strategy had worked like a charm, up to a point. Frank and Train got a running start and charged first, bowling over Harmony's frontline defense. They scattered like bowling pins, and Bull heard shrill cries accompanied by awful crunching sounds as they flew back into metal dividers, supports, and seating. Frank might have continued along the length of the car, shrugging off a storm of bullets from hand cannons and blasts from energy rifles, but he was interrupted as a tall, wiry man stepped in front of him, took an enormous breath, and expanded his body like a balloon. Frank charged right into him, disappeared momentarily in a comical Franken-train-shaped depression in the man's elastic midsection, and was hurled back like a pebble from a slingshot. He collided into the seats, ripping them from their reinforced stanchions with great tearing sounds of twisting metal and landing in a jumbled mess of steel. He groaned, but not so much from the pain. He didn't usually feel pain, not when he was moving, but the crash had left him rather dizzy. Frank loved to run, but always in straight lines. Sudden changes of direction always made him want to throw up. He was always good as the engineer or the driver on the straight-run tracks. No one wanted him in the steam loco's cabin on the switchbacks. When Frank lurched to his feet, he felt the train spinning around him. He might have been an easy target, but Bull and the rest of his team were on the move. Bull let them in, shimmering in his shield as he shrugged off a barrage of thrown knives and bullets. Closing the distance, he had a vague sense that things were going a little too smoothly when Harmony and a small group of Blacksnake Metas vaulted over the riflemen and entered the fray. For Harmony, at least, they were ready. Bull dropped his shield, and three of his ops took immediate aim and blasted her with concentrated sonic energy and freezing bursts from their hands. Harmony cursed, ducked under the blasts, and rolled back behind her troops. The rest of her melee fighters, however, darted in, and it became painfully apparent that these fighters were specialized in close-quarters combat. They seemed to be everywhere, bouncing off walls, tumbling underneath, scaling the very ceilings, and before Bull could blink, he found himself in the midst of a brutal fight that ran half the length of the car. Bull felt a sudden kick to his midsection, grunted in surprise, and tried to return the blow. His attacker easily dodged the punch and was already moving on to the next target. The Black Snake skirmishers appeared to be identically dressed in light armor and hooded face coverings. In fact, they were all the same height and build, and moved in the same eerie manner. Their limbs seemed to possess an enhanced range of articulation, bending at strange angles, orchestrating prescient attacks in all directions. They were constantly on the move, not happy to fight just one Echo Meta, but all of them, lashing out with quick attacks before moving to a new target. Whatever they were, their tactics were working. Bull's team flailed about helplessly as the skirmishers continued their onslaught, an untouchable dervish that was quickly wearing them down. Unable to build up to a run, Frankentrain was knocked over as one fighter delivered a devastating flying kick to his chest, while another rolled to trip him up at the feet. Another drove a series of jabs at Arctic, ending in a wild uppercut that sent her reeling. One by one, the Echo Metas were falling. Bull collected himself and watched their dervish dance through his stunned team. He kept focus on one of them, wheeled a condensed shield to flare up around his fist, and reared back in anticipation. As the agile scrapper attempted to tumble past him, Bull struck and delivered a massive blow to his midsection, amplified by his kinetic shield. The fighter and all his doppelgangers flew back towards the front of the car, their forms merging into one sprawling figure who groaned and gripped his stomach in pain.
"Fall back!"
Harmony shouted, seizing another one of her ops by the arm. Bull actually expected her to drain him on the spot, but evidently he was worth more alive than sucked dry. She gave him a rough shove towards Bulwark, snarling,
"Finish the damn job!"
while the rest of her force retreated to the next car. He was a large, heavily armored man, almost as large as Bull. He hunched over and began to roar as a portal opened up in his chest plate. Bull watched with alarm as a light began to intensify in the man's chest cavity, realizing what it meant.
"Take him down!"
Bull shouted. The artillery units on his team, those that could still stand, unleashed hell on the living cannon, but all for naught. The man stood his ground, letting the barrage of bullets and force blasts ricochet off his armor, and all the while his power source continued to glow even brighter.
"Nice try,"
the armored man snarled. Even his head was armored, protected by a series of interlocking metal plates.
I bet you could eventually find a weak spot in this armor, but you're out of time. And something tells me I won't have problems getting past yours.
He began to scream as his build-up hit a critical point, and he leveled his chest to blast them and the entire back of the train to ashes. He began to laugh maniacally, and stopped with the thunder of a single gunshot. His head snapped back, and when it flopped forward, Bulwark saw an oozing crater where the man's left eye used to be. He fell to his knees and sank to the ground, the light in his chest extinguished.
How's that for a weak spot, dickhead?
Bull turned around. Scope relaxed and lowered her smoking gun.
Nice shot, he said.
We've kept in shape, Scope shrugged. Even learned a few things.
Like what?
Like how guns don't solve every problem, she answered. But sometimes they make a hell of a persuasive argument.
Freaking non-intuitive. Battermarku Fastfish excuses for engineers can't have a nice big red button that says emergency brakes, oh no. Overwatch to Under, who'd you leave on the controls?
Busy Overwatch.
One of the Blacksnake Metas had been holding his Echo comrades at bay. He was able to generate a sort of bone armor over his skin, with spikes protruding from his knuckles. He was busy, dissuading the Echo Metas from advancing, leaving the Blacksnake behind him to take pot shots.
The hell with this.
Unter vaulted over a pile of seats that had been ripped from their moorings and used as a makeshift barrier, charging straight for the Meta. He could see the Blacksnake Merc grinning, his grown armor rattling as he braced himself. Just before they met, both Metas reared back and punched. Unter altered the trajectory of his thrown punch slightly. With a crack as loud as a gunshot, their fists met. The bone spikes and the armor on the Merc's fist shattered and started oozing blood, causing him to scream. Unter shot him up with an uppercut that landed on the tip of the Merc's chin, sending him to flip over onto his back, knocked out cold.
Ura! 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 Push them back!
The rest of the Echo team rallied, running past him to meet the enemy. The Blacksnake weren't prepared for the push, and fought a pitched battle as they retreated to the third car.
Ready, Overwatch. The dogs are running.
Unter leaned over the controls and began to follow the instructions that Overwatch had given him.
Nechivo, good job.
At that moment, the train lurched a little, and Metal began screaming.
This is Overwatch. All Echoes CCCP. Control of train established. You're coming in hard anyway. There's too much speed to scrub, and there's going to be a controlled crash. I'll give you a 5-second warning countdown.
Unter surveyed the fight. This bunch of Echo now effectively had the Blacksnake sandwiched in Car 3 between themselves and Bulwark's team. He idly felt the back of his head where he had been shot. His hand was covered with blood when he pulled it back.
Not something to repeat in the near future. Strange dreams after I've been shot in the head.
Overwatch, all troops! Brace for impact! 5!
Team, we are coming in hot. Brace yourselves!
Unter gripped two poles, hoping that his strength wouldn't fail and allow his hold to falter.
4, 3, 2, 1!
Overwatch Command, open Genie Private, open Pride Private,
Bella whispered.
Red, did you get all that? When the car hits, I'm going to jump away from Verd and have hysterics. That should get the attention on me, and when the second train hits, I'll have a meltdown. That should distract everyone from Pride, and he can jet off to the station. If, she added with only a little sarcasm, that meets with your approval, my lords and masters.
Make sure you jump far enough away, and even if Kanji reacts, I think I can keep her from disemboweling you,
Red replied with just as much sarcasm. By this time, Bella was so keyed up, she almost didn't have to fake hysterics when the first car smashed into the parked train. She shrieked unintelligibly somewhere around High C, leapt nearly to the edge of the stage, and pointed in the direction of 5 points. Tears were rolling down her face for Paperback Rider. Even with the station being underground, the sound of the impact meant nothing short of the most resilient metahumans would have survived it. When the second impact came, her meltdown included a controlled tumble off of the stage. something she hadn't told Jeannie was in the program, but which her own parkour practice had ensured wouldn't leave much of a bruise, and which would absolutely guarantee that all attention and cameras were riveted on her. As people clustered around her, she moaned dramatically and feigned confusion until Jeannie's,
"Okay, he's away, and not even Kanji noticed,"
told her it was safe to come tearfully to her feet and babble explanations about flashbacks.
"Verd's pissed off now. You stole his show. Now he's looking for pride. So's Kanji."
"Look all you want, monkey boy," she thought viciously. "And come on down here to see if I'm okay. I'll give you a handshake you'll never wake up from."
John had almost become a head shorter when the first car crashed. A jagged piece of metal had gone whistling through the air where he had been less than a second before. Natalia had been one of the first people up, yelling orders and trying to prepare the troops for the second train. The Echo Med team were still busy dragging off the wounded and putting the still-living Blacksnake Mercs out of reach of the Commissar. He started to look around for the rest of the squad. Mamona was the first one that he spotted. She was leaned up against an overturned vending machine, dazed and bleeding from a cut on her forehead, courtesy of a Blacksnake knife. John trotted up to her, kneeling down and placing a hand on her shoulder.
"You all right, comrade? We've got more fight coming to us."
She seemed to focus a little more, wiping some of the blood off of her eyebrow before nodding to him.
"Follow me. We got to police up there and meet up with the Commissar."
Pavel wasn't too far away. He was standing in front of a large piece of shattered mirror, grunting and cursing under his breath. It wasn't until he turned at the sound of their approach that John and Mamona saw why.
"This may be a slight problem."
A foot-long piece of rebar was sticking out of Bear's chest cavity, perilously close to his gyroscopic heart.
"I have been trying to extricate Amerikansky steel, but there was chance of nicking plasma conduits."
He shook his head.
"Not ideal for anyone in the station that is not wishing to become Tennessee fried turkey."
"I think I've got a solution. Hold still."
With a grunt, John yanked the rebar out of Pavel's chest, dropping it to the ground with a clatter.
"Just 'cause I'm a curious sort, what would have happened if it had hit your heart?"
"The station would be having new skylight."
Mamona gulped hard.
"Right. Shall we?"
They ran together to where the Commissar was positioning the Echo personnel. Everyone had their weapons out, and those with more flamboyant powers had them charged and ready. John, Pavel, and Mamona fell into place, waiting. The second car came screeching in much like the first, sending a shower of sparks off of the rails. It was clear that it was going significantly slower, however. When it impacted with the rear of the wreckage of the first car, it further compacted the ruined cabin, causing everyone to duck and recoil.
"Be vigilant, Tovarici! They will be in the third car."
The assembled Echo and CCCP recovered and trained their weapons on the third car, collectively holding their breath for what seemed like hours, but was in fact only a handful of seconds. Finally, the doors creaked open. Dazed and bloody Blacksnake Mercs stumbled out, some clutching weapons and others supporting each other. John was about to move in when a familiar feeling creeped up his spine. In a second, it felt like a cold snake was coiled in his guts.
"Something is wrong. Something is going to go bad."
At that moment, flashbangs went off, seemingly coming from everywhere and nowhere. John was able to recover just in time to see what looked like nearly 24 more Blacksnake mercenaries pour in from service entrances and back doors.
"Shit, I thought we had the station secured."
There wasn't any time left to think. Almost as one, everyone started shooting, or closing in for hand to hand. It was absolute chaos.
You have been listening to Season 7 of the Secret World Chronicle podcast novel series. The Secret World Chronicle podcast is narrated and produced by Veronica Jaguer. Music is Exciting Trailer by Kevin MacLeod, available at incompetech.com. The Secret World Chronicle is published by the amazing people at Bayon Books. Follow the series at www.secretworldchronicle.com. Join us on Facebook and check out the authors on Twitter. And as always, thank you for listening.